From One World Trade Center in Manhattan, overlooking dozens of golf courses that will never have us as members, this is the Golf Digest Podcast.
Welcome to the Golf Digest Podcast. I'm Ryan Harrington, Deputy Editor of GolfDigest.com. On this week's podcast, I'm pleased to be joined by Jim Furyk. Jim joined the tour in 1996, and in 20 years, he has put together a pretty remarkable career. He has won 17 times on the PGA Tour, including his victory at the 2003 U.S. Open. He's won the FedEx Cup Championship, and he's been the Tour's Player of the Year. He's played on 9 Ryder Cup teams and 7 President Cup squads. In the last year, however, Furyk has had to deal with something that thankfully he'd avoided for his entire career previously, an injury. A bone contusion in his left wrist caused him to withdraw from last year's BMW Championship, the first tournament he's withdrawn from since 1995. It also forced him to have surgery in February, and he had hoped to be able to get back playing on tour in time to be able to compete this year in the major championships and for the Ryder Cup. He's been able to get back in May here, and this last weekend finished tied for second at the U.S. Open, something he's pretty proud of, as you'll hear from our interview. So without further ado, let's introduce Jim and talk to him about how his recovery's been going. Well, Jim, thanks for joining me on the Golf Digest Podcast. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, you're coming off your best week since you returned to play last month, a tie for second at the U.S. Open, at what I imagine obviously is a special place for you in Oakmont, given your Pennsylvania ties. How do you feel about your performance, and what do you take away from last week?
You know, I think it was a big confidence booster. It was definitely fun. You know, I felt like for the first 4 events of the year, I really technically wasn't that bad. I didn't feel like I was swinging the club that bad or but I wasn't scoring well. I had been away from the game for a while and rusty and just wasn't doing those intangible things, you know, knocking in a key putt or making good decisions at times. I wasn't in real good playing shape, and a lot of that I thought was just to be patient and you know, keep at it and play as much as I could and try to knock the rust off that way. So it was fun last week, I guess more than anything, on Sunday to get back in the hunt. I started the day 10 back, and you know, coming down the stretch with 4 or 5 holes to go, I felt like, you know, a birdie or two, and I'd have a chance to win the golf tournament. So, you know, you get the juices flowing and excited, and anytime you go out there and shoot 66 on a Sunday, it's fun, but you don't see that happen very often or get that opportunity very often at the U.S. Open. So I really, really enjoyed myself and had a lot of support from my home state.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that it had to be just everything coming together like that had to be pretty special, obviously, in a big event. And you mentioned knocking the rust off, getting the rust off for just, like you said, the competitive juices had to be a pretty big deal.
It was fun. I think, you know, we all love the game. We all love competing. But when you can wake up on Sunday morning and feel like you have a chance, or you get out there in the middle of the, you know, middle of the golf course on Sunday with an opportunity to win, that's kind of what we all work hard for and practice for and enjoy. And you know, I hadn't had that feeling in a while. I was, you know, the last event I played was back in September and finished 4th in Boston and at the Deutsche Bank, and then, you know, had a huge span off and wasn't able to really get myself in the hunt for the 4 weeks I played. So to get back after it was a lot of fun, and again, to do it you know, in an area, my parents grew up in the Pittsburgh area, I'm from Pennsylvania, so to do it there kind of in front of a home crowd was a lot of fun.
Sure. Was there something in particular different on Sunday that helped explain the 66?
You know, I played well all week, really. I played 7. You know, I kind of broke the rounds in the 9 holes. And
yeah.
8 sets of 9 holes. I played 7 of them very, very well. In fact, I think the first round I shot 1 over and even, and after that I never shot anything but under par on a 9, even par or under par for the rest of the week. I had that one bad 9 holes early on Saturday where I shot 41 and, you know, played the rest of the week 7 under par. So, you know, was there anything different? I think I was able to avoid mistakes. I think, you know, I made a few extra birdie putts, but just played real consistent, real solid. And, you know, I really didn't do much different than I'd done all week other than probably making a couple extra putts here and there.
Sure. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about what else happened on Sunday. I mean, I was trying to go back through the timeline. I think you finished your round about the time maybe the leaders were making the turn, so it was before anyone from the USJ had approached Dustin Johnson quite yet on that 12th hole. Where were you as the whole situation was kind of unfolding?
You're correct on where Dustin was. He made the turn. He birdied 9 while I was walking up 18. About the time I got to the 18th green, it's adjacent to the 10th tee. They're right next to each other. He walked up on the tee. He got a standing O. there was a lot of fans there cheering and pulling for me. I had that par putt. I had no idea what was going on in the golf course. And really, even after post-round, I went to interviews. No one said a word to me. I cleared out my locker, and I was headed to the airport thinking there was no chance of a playoff. And when I learned of what was going on was really, I got on the phone to talk to my dad, talk to my parents, and say hello to them. And my dad informed me of what was going on with Dustin and kind of said, you might not want to get too close to the airport or too far away. And, you know, being it would be a Monday playoff, I watched about the last 4 holes from the Allegheny County Airport with a number of different players.
That's pretty funny. Now, as things are unfolding and as you're watching the situation, what was going through your mind? I mean, like you said, did you think at all that you were really going to have a shot at a playoff when you'd finished?
I really didn't, only because there were too many people. Now, if there was only one or two people really with a shot to get in ahead of me, I would have thought maybe the chances were better, but at the time there was 3, 4, 5 people. I think I was tied for 6th at one time after I finished. So I figured one of the 5 would get it, you know, at least one of the 5. I figured I was going to maybe finish about 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those finishing holes are tough. There was definitely some struggles on the way in. But Dustin played, unbelievable down the stretch. It had to have been awkward for him to feel like, being told on the 5th hole that there would be no penalty, and then to find out on 12 that there may possibly, which I don't understand, but there may possibly be a problem. They would have viewed it after 18. He played beautifully. I mean, from that point on, I think he played under par. Yeah. So, and very few people in the field were able to do so.
What did you think of the way the USGA handled the situation? I mean, a lot of your colleagues, your peers on the PGA Tour went out on social media and expressed their disappointment with how things were going. What was your take on that?
Well, I think a lot of it was whether or not it was, you know, whether or not it should have been a penalty. I think, you know, it's the USGA, they make the rules. They can, you know, they can say whether or not it should be a penalty. I really honestly believe nothing happened for 3 hours and they penalized him when he finished. I think they should have let Dustin know much earlier in the day whether or not it was a penalty, mm-hmm. let him know where he stood. That would let everyone in the field know what exactly was going on. I guess I was a little disappointed. I feel like if I were in his position, I'd want to know. And it was just too open-ended, and it wasn't like we got any more facts in 3 hours. Nothing happened. I think they could have made that decision on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it puts a black mark, if you will, on the tournament the way it all played out?
No, I think fortunately it really didn't mean anything.
Sure.
Penalty shot or not, Dustin wins by 3 or he wins by 4. Either way, he wins the golf tournament. So I think it was fortunate for I'm happy for Dustin. He played so well and deserved to win the golf tournament. But I think the USGA is very fortunate, and it would have left a black mark. You know, let's say he gets it in at 2 under,
sure,
and they penalize him and goes back to 1. I think it would have been a black mark on the event for sure. But in this situation, no, it worked out to where it didn't matter, and I think folks will eventually forget it.
Yeah. You know, you had your surgery in February and you returned last month. How has the process gone for you in terms of trying to reacclimate into regular competition? You mentioned some rust, if you will, and you know, you've played in a couple events, had a couple cuts, but haven't necessarily gotten back to your peak form, obviously.
Well, I didn't expect that to happen right
away.
Yeah,
sure.
Think, getting back in the flow, I've had the same job now for about 25 years, so. You know, 7 or 8 months off, I didn't forget how to compete.
Sure.
It's just going to, I really felt like it was going to take a little time to get back into form and get a few events under my belt. You know, I was hoping that would happen sooner than later. And I'm still not ready to say, hey, I'm 100%. I'm ready to go. Everything's great just because I played one event. I think it's really, you know, putting one foot in front of the other and being patient and letting it happen slowly here over the next few months. And I'd love to finish out the year great, but really the way to do that is to be patient and kind of let things happen instead of trying to force the issue.
Understand, definitely. What has been the toughest part of the reacclimation process in terms of getting back into the competitive swing here? I mean, has it been just trying to get a feel for your swing again? Has it been something off the course?
Nothing mechanically. With my golf swing, nothing from mechanics. I think really just the playing and the scoring, you know, getting the ball in the hole and making good decisions.
Yeah. You had, obviously, a lot of time away from the game, probably more than you've had since you turned pro and have been playing on the PGA Tour. What kind of things did you do while you were away? Did you get a chance to try anything new? Did you just, I'm just curious how you spent your time, because I've got to believe at some point it maybe is refreshing and another time is probably pretty antsy, wanting to get back out there.
Well, honestly, I had a great time. As much as I missed the competition, as much as I miss doing my job, I also got to spend a lot of time with my family. So sure. As someone that spends 25 to 30 weeks on the road and being away, to be home for 7 or 8 straight months, to spend time with Tabitha and my kids, my mom and dad live in town, my in-laws live in town. So to be able to spend that time and be home and be with my family was something that I'll cherish, to be honest with you, because most of us that play the game for a living don't get blocks of time like that at home. So, and speaking of that, with my dad, one of the things that we're talking about today as well is the partnership with Pfizer, and this was a chance, really. My dad's been there for me my whole career. He's been my coach, and so I do have a message for Pfizer that we wanted to present. It's really a kind of a chance for me to coach my coach, and my dad's over 65 now. And I really want him to be healthy, to live a healthy lifestyle, and eat properly, get enough rest. But also want to talk to him about making sure he's up to date on his adult vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And this was something that I wasn't aware of. And having two children, was used to talking about vaccinations with them. But in particular, make sure he sees his doctor and make sure he protects himself against infectious diseases. And one of those would be pneumococcal pneumonia. So folks that are over 65 and even healthy adults over 65 are at an increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. So we're just asking people to consult their doctor, to talk to them, and also go to a website, which is knowpneumonia.com, and that's knowpneumonia.com. And mm-hmm. and for folks that are my age that have parents over 65, and I know you're worried about them, and just do a little research. Sure. and try to help them out, make sure they talk to their doctor.
I was going to say, some of the work I think Pfizer and you all are doing, too, is there's some booths at some of the tour events here that people can get some more information about. Is that correct?
They do. I think right at the entryway here at the Quicken Loans event, they have a booth, and folks on the way in can stop and check it out. That'd be great.
Yeah, definitely know. In that time away again, when you got a chance, obviously, to hang out with your family and to do some other stuff, I don't want to sound overly maudlin or anything, but did you take any time to reflect on your career at all and what you've kind of accomplished?
Not too much. I mean, I'm proud of where I started and where it ended up, but I do still feel like I have some good years in me.
Sure.
If last week was any indication, hopefully I can make another run at some events and possibly a major championship. So, I'm proud of what I've accomplished, but I've never been one of those folks who kind of sits back and smells flowers. I'm going to work hard, try to keep improving, getting better. And certainly if my last 5 events are any indication, I've got some work to do. Just because I played well last week, I really don't think I'm out of the woods. I really think, I've got some improving to do and looking forward to working hard.
When you look at your game now, this era of Jim Furyk, as opposed to when you went out on tour, what's the biggest difference with how either you approach things or I'm just curious, how are you a different golfer right now than maybe when you were first starting out on tour?
I think just maybe a little bit more mature. I think that, I worked hard when I was young in my career, but maybe not always on the proper things or on a technique or a work ethic that maybe was always in a positive light. I think you've got to go out there and spend a lot of hours, finding it in the dirt and beating balls and figuring out what works for you. I think that now I'm maybe not physically as strong as I was when I was, say, 35, but mentally I think I'm a little more mature. I think I've learned a little bit more. I'm more efficient, if that makes sense. You know, it takes me a little less practice time to gain a little bit more because I'm, you know, that much more knowledgeable about what makes my game tick and my swing tick. And, you know, really overall what's different, I'm just probably a little older but a little wiser, if that makes sense.
No, definitely, yeah. You're vice captain with Davis Love currently. I know you're trying to play your way onto that team, and you did a great job of jumping ahead from number 50 to number 17 on the points list going into or after coming out of Oakmont. What's it been like, though, for you to be involved with Davis as a vice captain right now? And I'm curious if that's been an interesting part of the process, having been obviously a player on the team for so many years.
Yeah, I think I've played on enough Ryder Cups where I've been able to obviously play nine of them as a player, but I think been asked by some captains because, you know, my captain started as, you know, Tom Kite, Ben Crenshaw, Curtis Strange, guys that I looked up to that, you know, I wanted to emulate. I wanted to be those guys. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you look at the past captains and they're my friends and my peers because I'm getting older. So, you know, I think some of those captains, as you get older and, you know, they lean on you a little bit as a player. What are you seeing out there? What, you know, can you help with some of the young guys in this way? Can you help with, you know, different things? And so I've kind of started to view things a little bit from an assistant's view. And it was an honor for Davis to ask me as a close friend. But I think, you know, we both love the event as well as Tiger and Strick and Tom Lehman. We all love the event. We're trying to do whatever we can to make those 12 individuals, you know, have the best opportunity to play their best golf. And it's been kind of a fun process. It's something I never thought about, I guess, maybe this far in advance of the tournament. But we get messages from Davis, you know, about every other week with little ideas, questions, thoughts. And it's been fun to help out and you know, be available whenever he calls. So I've enjoyed the process, and really I'm looking forward to Hazeltine later this year.
Well, Jim, thank you for a little bit of your time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck this week, obviously, at the Quicken Loans. Good luck with your work with Pfizer as well, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again down the road.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thanks again to Jim for joining us on the podcast today, and I want to thank you all for listening to our podcast. We really do appreciate you coming in and listening to us each week. We hope if you haven't done so already, you'll subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also find us now on Google Play and on TuneIn, so we've got a couple different spots where you can listen to the podcast. While on iTunes or any of these, if you could give us a review, it really helps us hopefully get other people to get interested into the podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.